We're working our way through this 40 days of prayer campaign, and well, week one is complete, and after you've been inundated with emails and stops and small groups, videos and books, I hope that over this first week of this series that maybe you've grown a little spiritually. And well, today we're actually going to start digging into the topic of prayer. Remember last week we talked more about the idea of growing up. Well, this week we're going to talk about prayer. And it's a huge topic. If you went out on Amazon and you did a search, there are 136,000 books on Amazon written specifically about prayer. If you go out on Google, there are 132 million web pages in Google's little database specifically tagging themselves as websites for prayer. Those 132 million web pages link to 4 million videos that have been made and placed online about prayer. They also connect to over 6 million articles that have been written about the topic of prayer. You still think we're not interested in prayer? You do understand what these numbers mean, right? Amazon only sells books that people are actually interested in buying. Google only wants to post in their searches things that people actually are looking for. So that means we've found a topic that apparently there's a whole bunch of people that are interested in this topic of prayer. So with so much information out there, how are we ever supposed to understand prayer on a personal level? 136,000 books. At the pace I read, that would take me about 100 years to read all of those books, and they'd have written more by that. I'd never catch up. How can my brain ever process this idea of prayer? And that brings us to the question that I put out in the email this week, and it's the first blank there if you're the fill-in-the-blank kind of people in the bulletin. What word describes how you feel about prayer? And these are some of the words that usually pop into people's heads. Frustrated, awkward, confused, inept, unsatisfied, it's a mystery, I don't understand how it works, I want it to be better, I need help. Maybe you've got another word that you can put into your blank. Now, I do want to warn you, because I know it's going to happen, because it always happens. You talk about a topic like this and somebody wants you to know, well, my prayer life is great. Okay? This isn't for the super prayer. If you've got the prayer thing all figured out, please come up and let me know because we need to change places. I need to go out there and sit and you need to teach me how it's done because you know what? My word's up on that board. I'm not going to share you my word, but my word for how I feel when it comes to prayer is up on that board right now. By the way, if you've got this all figured out, I'd love to have somebody that can run a prayer ministry that knows how this all works. Because me, I struggle with this thing. This thing we call prayer, it just frustrates me so many times because I want to be better at it. But sometimes I feel like I'm stuck. It doesn't seem to get any better. It doesn't seem to get any worse sometimes. But you know what? It's just kind of that thing we do. So today, we're going to go over the basics of the things that you need to know about this idea of prayer. If you want to put a name on it, this is Prayer 101. Prayer 101, a college course, a 101 college course, is that course everybody has to take. You start out with college, you start out taking courses, everybody takes the introduction courses. Now, they aren't going to necessarily always connect specifically. But everybody's going to take it. And then you find out as you go to college, that thing that you didn't think really you needed, later on in life, you're like, oh, yeah, that's why they made me take English Lit, why they made me take this, and all these 101 courses. Because these are the foundational pieces of what it means to pray. So we're going to begin with three facts about prayer. Now, I like the word fact because the word fact means this is an absolute. Not for debate. It's not for discussion. These are things we definitely know about prayer. And fact number one is our Creator wired human beings for prayer. It's interesting, but did you know everybody prays? No, not everybody. Yeah. Everybody prays. It's a universal urge worldwide that we as humans just have to scratch. I mean, we absolutely cannot do with any of this. We have to pray. Every culture prays to something or someone. Even in those moments, you think about our national history. Even when you've got presidents who don't really claim a relationship with Christ, let something happen worldwide, and what's the first thing they want to do? Let's pray. Well, let's pray. You go into an atheist or somebody who's never believed in God whatsoever. You let something go wrong in their life, what's the first thing they usually say? Oh, God. That's what they say. Do you understand? It's just one of those things that deep down inside of me that I just have this need to pray. You see, here's the theory. There's so much in our life that we don't understand. We need to believe there is somebody or something out there that has the answers that I can't figure out. So when I pray, I am looking for something bigger than I am. I'm looking for something that makes sense, and I'm looking for something that lasts. Because you know what? All of those things seem to be missing from my life at times. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11 puts it this way. He being God, has made everything beautiful in his time. He has also set eternity in the human heart, yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. Folks, we have a need to pray. This is not a want to. This is, I absolutely have to have it. It has to be part of my life. Even if I claim no spirituality whatsoever, eventually, at some point in your life, this topic of prayer is going to become important to you. Don't believe me? 136,000 books written and available on Amazon today about this topic. You think people aren't interested in figuring out how to make prayer work for them? I did. But for all of the things that I want prayer to work for me, you know what I find out? I'm not very good at this. I'm not supposed to say that as the minister of a church. I'm not supposed to tell you that I'm not very good. But you know what? I'm not very good about it. I'm not. I try, but my prayer life lacks just like everybody else's. And well, here's the thing. Prayer is kind of like looking at yourself naked in the mirror. I know that's an image you don't want. Okay? I didn't say naked, but me, it's like looking at yourself. And here's what I mean by that. You have seen yourself a bunch. But you know what? When you stand in front of that mirror naked, you still feel a little awkward, don't you? It's kind of funny when you have little kids. They don't care about this, right? They get out the bathtub, and down the hall they go, clothes or not. But as I began to get older, I began to realize that, you know what? There's some things about my body I just don't like. I mean, some things are out of proportion, and some things aren't shaped the way that I want them, and some things don't look the way that I want it, and some things never will be how I want them. And so as I begin to look at myself, I begin to see that, you know what? My body's not what it should be. And there are definitely some things that I don't want anybody else to see. I mean, that's the whole reason we go out and you buy clothes that fit your body, right? You know, you buy the right colors, the right style, the right shapes. If you've ever been swimsuit shopping with a young lady, you understand the fact that it's going to be a long process. Because they got to find the one that's the least amount of clothes they're going to wear out in public. And they got to find the one that's going to make their body look the best and cover the things that they don't want anybody else to see. Because there are just some things about my body that I don't want anybody else to see. And well, when it comes to prayer, we stand before God. Since he knows everything about me, and he sees everything about me, I feel a little inadequate standing there with my naked life standing there revealed before God, and he can see it all. I mean, he can see my past, my present, my future, and he's got it all out there for me, and I'm standing there, I'm like, I mean, what do I do? I mean, after all, I'm dealing with a guy that is, he's the creator of the universe. As a matter of fact, he just spoke, and there it was. He's perfect. He stands in front of the mirror, and he doesn't have a blemish on his body. It's all there. He's powerful. He's holy. What do I say to a person like that? Romans chapter 8, 26 says, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with wordless groans. And you know what? Sometimes that's my prayer language. I'm speechless. I know you find that hard to believe for me, but I'm speechless. I don't have a clue what I'm supposed to say. What am I supposed to ask for? I mean, do I need to do this before I do that? And can I really expect God to listen to me if I'm still struggling with this in my life? I mean, what am I supposed to do? I mean, I want to pray, but I'm just not very good at it. But here's my good news for you today. God does not want it to be so difficult. This idea of prayer doesn't really take 136,000 books. It doesn't. Nor does it take 132 million web pages to figure it out. God never intended prayer to be a difficult thing for us. Now, the reason it's difficult, though, is because there are some things that frustrate me, but the things that frustrate me when I really only look at them is my misconception about what prayer is. Because there are four basic things that I think prayer is, and that ain't what prayer is. I know ain't a word, ain't right, I get it, but it works well. It ain't what it is, and that is, prayer is not a magic wand. It's not an enchanted tool that you wave like Harry Potter, and you get to change your situation. Not a magic bottle that you rub and God pops out to fulfill your desires and he says, your wish is my command. It's not a secret incantation. There are no magic words. There are no prayer hocus pocuses. There are no prayer abracadabras. There's nothing there. It is not magic. But you know, sometimes I think it is. Yeah, I just pray God will take care of this for me. It's not magic. It's also not a fire extinguisher. Now, you know about this, right? Break glass and use in an emergency. If you go to some of the bigger buildings, especially if they're older, the fire extinguishers are in these nice little cases, and it says, in case of emergency, break the glass, pull out the fire extinguisher, go put out the fire. This is how we treat our prayer life a lot of times. You know, it's that thing that my situation has got desperate, so I guess I had better start praying. I got some bad news, and I don't know what to do with the bad news, so it's time for me to start praying. God, I am in a mess, and I am all out of answers. I guess maybe I should go pray. We treat it as a thing of last resort. Would you like to know one of the saddest statements you can ever hear a Christian make about prayer? Here it is. Tell me if something come out of your mouth. All we can do now is pray. Think about what that statement says. All I can do now is pray. You understand, everything you can do is pray. That's everything. When you say all I can do, that means, you know what, I've tried everything that I know how to do, so I guess now I should call God. You see, talking to God is not just for an emergency. Prayer is not a tug of war with God. Now, as a kid that kind of grew up oversized, see, that's a polite way to put it, I love the game of tug-of-war. You know what position on the tug-of-war team I always played? Anchor. You know why? Tie the rope around Barry. Barry, sit down. He's not going anywhere because he's built like a fire plug. I mean, he was big and he was heavy and he didn't move very well. So I love the idea of playing anchor on the tug-of-war, but you get this idea that this is not a game of tug-of-war with God. We don't have to wear God down until he gives up. If you ever played tug of war, that's exactly what it's about. You keep pulling on the rope until the team on the other side just gives up and they can't pull anymore, and then you yank them across into the mud puddle right in the middle. That's not the game you're playing with God. You don't have to beg. Please, please, pretty please, give me with butter and sugar on it. That's what our prayer life looks a lot of the time. I'll just keep begging God for what I want. You don't have to bargain with God. You don't have to look at God and say, well, God, if you'll do this, I'll do that. I cannot tell you how many of those bargains I've made in my prayer life over the years. You know, good at fulfilling my part of the bargain, usually, even when God gives me the things that I ask for. We don't have to bribe God. He's not looking for a sales pitch. He's not trying to tell us, well, this is the things that you do, and God, this is all the benefits that you're going to get. If you give me my prayer request, look at all the things you're going to get. And sometimes our prayer life sounds like a used car sales lot. Prayer is not a ritual to relieve our guilt. This is a big one. Because you know what? I blew it. I sinned. And so you know what? I guess I better go pray about it, right? I sin a lot, so I better pray a whole bunch, right? Bible says I should pray, so well, I guess it's something I should do so I can cross it off my list. It's dinner time. Better say the blessing before I eat any of my food. You ever caught yourself and you started eating before somebody says the blessing? And then when somebody reminds you that the blessing hasn't been said, you stop almost like a mid-French fry because you realize, oh, I'm supposed to say that. You realize that's a ritual. And we're just praying to relieve some kind of a guilt. Now, there's nothing wrong with a routine. There's nothing wrong with saying the blessing. Please don't go home and say, Barry says we shouldn't say the blessing. No. But if that's your prayer life, you understand why it's not working for you, right? You see, Jesus specifically tells us not to keep repeating the same thing over and over again. He says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 7, and when you pray, do not keep babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. You see, I think that's one of my problems. My prayer life babbles. I just keep asking God for the same thing over and over and over. I just keep praying the same thing over and over and over. It's like I'm watching an eternal series of reruns in my prayer life. By statistics, these four misconceptions just outline and cover about 90% of the average Christian's prayer life. I took out the ritual prayers, if I took out the beg prayers, if I took out the tug of war, if I took out the emergency prayers, and if I took out the magic wand, please give me prayers, I just took out about 90% of your prayer life. Still wonder why prayer isn't working for us? Still confused? Maybe it's because we're not really praying, we're just playing. And yeah, I actually did say that. And I actually do believe that. Because my prayer life is usually give me, help me, fix it, rescue me, wah, 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 I want my bottle, and I don't mean maybe. Give me what I'm looking for, God. See, this idea of prayer isn't just that. And these misconceptions put a limitation on my prayer life, and it puts me in this eternal circle that, you know what, I haven't done it right. I didn't do it right, so I better go back and do it again. And so, you know, we start trying to write prayers, and we start trying to say eloquent things, and we start trying to sound super spiritual and super great in our prayer life, and we think just because I can learn to pray better and I can learn to say the words better, that makes the prayer life better. But then, honestly, I go home at night, and I'm like, well, what's the point of that? That doesn't fix anything except for maybe make me a better public speaker. Problem is we need to figure out the four foundations of prayer. Yeah, I tell you, these are about as basic as you get. If you came here this morning looking for some astounding vision from God, you're in the wrong pew this morning. Because this is very, very, very basic. But you know what? I think sometimes if we could just go back to the basics of prayer, perhaps our prayer life could get better. So here is foundation number one. God loves me. God's love for me. God loves me to talk to him about everything and anything and everything. That's hard to say. I have to say that a little slower. God loves me to talk to him about anything and everything. So here's the first thing you need to know. It doesn't have to be a religious topic. Have you ever thought about that? You don't have to take a religious topic to God. You don't have to, surprise, you don't have to quote God a Bible verse to make it a worthy prayer. You don't have to tie in a single spiritual concept whatsoever to take it to God. And you know what? If you're interested in something, God is too. Why is God interested in anything you're interested in? Well, here's the reason. Because he loves you. That's it. He gave you those interests. So you think you're interested in music just because you like music. You understand? You're interested in music because God gave you in your heart a love for music. And so why would he not want you to come back and talk to him about the things that he gave you to make you comfortable? Think about our jobs and the skills that it takes to do our job. You know where those skills came from? They came from God, the Creator. And so guess what? Why did he not want me to come back and tell him how my day was at work? Even when it wasn't a very good day. Even when I can't use the experience of reference, it's just one of those days that I just want to roll my eyes at. God still wants me to come back and talk to him about it. He enjoys talking with his children. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear them. You know what? Babies are deeply loved, even before they can talk. What's one of those things that parents just can't wait for? You can't wait to hear them say their first word. We sit there and we look at them and go, dad, 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 or ma, 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 trying to get them to mimic what we're doing so that we can get that first word out of them. Isn't that what we do? Because we can't wait to hear their voice. Then they get between 2 and 7 and we wonder if they're ever going to be quiet again. Then they get to teenagers and we think they forgot to learn how to talk. So, you know, we get those disciples, but you get this idea that we love to talk to our children, and guess what? God does too. God can't wait to hear your voice. We forget that at times. He wants you to grow up. That means learning how to talk to him. And you know what? It's not that hard. Prayer is like learning any other language, isn't it? I mean, you listen, you practice, and you get better, and then eventually those babbling words begin to make sentences. Does anybody here remember your first sentence? Please say no, that would be very weird. But here's the thing. You think it probably made sense? I bet your noun and your verb wasn't conjugated correctly. I bet you maybe it was probably either a run-on sentence or an incomplete sentence, or maybe the thought wasn't even fully developed. But you know what? When you spoke that first sentence, your parents, their ears perked up because you had just gone to just making sounds and words. That's a big deal for the parents. You know what? That's a big deal for us. When we start beginning to put those words together and those utterances and those sounds that we just kind of make, and we start making coherent conversation with God, God stops to listen. That's important for us. You see, the truth is, there is nothing that is off limits to talk to God. This is what 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 says. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Now, that's important for us to remember because you know what? We can ask anything of God. We can talk to anything about God. You got a problem with somebody that you know what, they just are driving you nuts, go talk to God about it. You'll listen. My aunt used to have one of these things called a word bird. You ever seen these things? You set it up and you talk to it, and as you talk to it, the word bird would just start doing this. The sad thing is she wore about 2 of them out because she worried so much that she talked to 4 things a day. You can't talk God to death. You can't, because he's eternal. He will sit there and listen as long as you are willing to talk. Now, here's some things you need to know. Prayer is a conversation, not a ceremony. Please get that. If you get nothing else out of this service today, please take that home with you. Prayer is not a ceremony. It's just a conversation. How many conversations do you have during the day? Bunches. I talk to people all during the day. Some people I don't even want to. I have to have conversations with them. So why is it so hard for me to have a conversation with God? Prayer is talk and listen. It's not a monologue. I'm not coming into God's presence give him a speech about my day. When my kids come home and we get around the dinner table and I say, how was your day? You know what? I'm not going to sit there for 20 minutes and I can tell you about your day. They're going to say something and I'm not going to talk back. They're going to say something and I'm not going to talk back. So there's a give and take in this conversation. So that means as you're praying, you should also be listening. Your ears should be listening for what God is saying back to you. Prayer is relational, not ritual. Here's a surprise for you. There is no right position to pray. Now, I know we were all taught, bow your head, close your eyes. But you do understand. There is no, quote, right position to pray. As a matter of fact, if you go through Scripture, you'll find that people did it standing with their arms and their eyes up to the sky. You found people that were laying prostrate on the ground. You found people that knelt. You found people that stood. You found people that did everything. There is no wrong position, because you know what? This is not a ritual. This is a relationship. I mean, do I have to get in a certain position to talk to you? I hope not. I mean, sometimes we're talking going down the street, and sometimes we talk when we're sitting in an office, and sometimes it's at a restaurant. There is no right place or right position to pray. If prayer is boring to you, then you misunderstand the point of it. How many times have you heard that? Well, prayer is just boring. Well, if prayer is boring, then you're doing it wrong. Because prayer is a privilege. It's not a duty. Prayer is not this thing on my list that I need to cross off to accomplish that for the day. I said my prayer in the morning. I said my prayer at dinner time. I said my, now I lay me down to sleep at the end of the night. And you know what? I could check all the boxes. Prayer life complete for the day. Follow the way. If that's prayer, you know what? You're not treating it as a privilege. It's just another thing on your list that you have to do. And you know what? I have got enough things on my list that I just have. My list has got plenty of things to do. It should be enjoyed and not endured. You ever been in a prayer meeting that went too long? Just wonder if that person in front of you that was praying is going to ever shut up, because you know what? They've been praying for 5 minutes. I mean, how much can they pray? How many words can they come up with? You understand? They get something you don't. They're not enduring their conversation with God. They're enjoying their conversation with God. They've gotten into their conversation with God, and God is talking to them, and they're talking to God, and they just keep going, because you know what? They've forgotten you're even sitting there, because they're so focused into what they're doing with God, because they're enjoying what's going on. God listens to the prayer that is sincere and simple. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, with a full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from the guilty consciousness of having our bodies washed with pure water. You don't have to use flowery words to impress God. You don't need fancy church phrases to pray. You know what the best prayer I have ever heard in my entire life was? We had a young man that had just joined our little college and career group, and we were all together, and he had just become a Christian, and he made the mistake of coming to a prayer meeting with all the students. He came there, and we got in our circle, and we started praying, and all of us were coming up to these nice prayers, and he got to his turn, and there was a long pause. And finally he said, "Thank you, God." He was done. Oh my gosh. You realize what he did? He just said his first couple of prayers, two words. But he said exactly what was on his heart. He didn't need a, "Oh, Heavenly Father that is all up in heaven, omnipotent." He didn't need any of that. He just said, "You know what? God, thank you for what you did for my life." How impressive is that? See, that's what we need to learn. It just has to come from your heart. And then everything and anything, you can pray about. You can talk to God about. It really is that simple. It has to be authentic, real, and honest. You want to have a yelling match with God? I encourage you. Go ahead. Yell away. He's a big God. He can take it. Now, he might have some words for you when you're done yelling and you're all out of your words. He might have a few things to say back to you, but you just got to be ready for that. You know what? You need to have an intimate conversation with God. Go at it. You know what? Whatever. As long as it's what's on your heart, in your life. The purpose of prayer is to pray for what I need that God talk to God about. God wants to hear about your day. Wow, really? I can tell you all about my day. I mean, my day is long sometimes. Sometimes my day don't end until close to midnight. It really is a full day. But God wants to hear about it. You say, well, why does he want to hear about it? Didn't he follow me all day long? Didn't know what's going on? Yeah, but he wants to give you a place to dump it. He's giving you a place to vent. Oh my gosh. Can you imagine that? He's giving you a place to vent, and he's never going to judge you for what you've been in for. That's incredible. I think I could probably get into a prayer life that looks more like this. See, God likes to show his grace by answering prayer. See, every prayer gets answered, either with a yes, no, or not yet. Now, I will tell you, I love the yeses. I tolerate the no's. I hate the not yet, because that requires me to learn to be patient. I'm not a patient person. But you need to understand that with every single time God answers it, he's either not giving you what you asked for, and that's grace, because you might have asked something that wasn't really good for you. Or he is giving you what you asked for, and that's called grace. Or he's telling you, you know what, just wait for it, because what you've asked for, you're not ready for yet. Jeremiah chapter 33:3 says, call on me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. Matthew chapter 7, verse 11 says, If you then though are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask of him? James chapter 4, verse 2 says, you desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and you fight. You do not have, because you do not ask God. Last week I mentioned the idea that our prayer life should probably incorporate scripture reading, should probably incorporate scripture reading. How about we try just reading those? Said it's a conversation, not something I'm just giving a speech to God. God longs to be close to me. Now, if you're away from somebody for a long time, you just can't wait to talk. I remember when I moved to Charlottesville, best homecoming I ever had. Went away to Charlottesville. I was only gone for a week, but Deborah was still living in Lynchburg, and I was in Charlottesville, and I was up there for a week, and I came back, and we even talked during the week, but then I came home on the weekend to see her, and when I came home and I got to her front door and I rang the doorbell front opened, and she gave me a great big old hug. And she was like, I was there, I was there, of course I'm gonna come back. Mom needs to take my clothes. Come on, I mean, come on. You realize when you're away from God, when you come back to him, he's not gonna be able to give you a lecture. He absolutely positively can't wait to wrap his arms around you and squeeze you tight. God just can't wait to see you. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 18 says, yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore he will rise up to show you compassion. For the Lord is God of justice. Blessed are those who wait for him. You know, as a parent, it's painful if you have a child that can't talk. I'll be honest with you, I've seen that kids like this. I don't have this in my house. Sometimes I think I have kids that talk too much, but that's okay. They're teenagers now, so that problem solved itself all by itself. Now I'm trying to get them to talk again. You do understand God designed you for a relationship. He made you for this idea of loving. He made you for the idea of companionship for him. He created you to be his child. And when he doesn't hear your voice, he misses you. You ever thought about that? God misses you when you don't show up for your prayer time. When you're not there to talk to God about your day, he misses those moments. I mean, he probably has a little count. He's like, well, wait a minute, they were supposed to be here. I call my mom every Saturday. He's just right around 9 o'clock in the morning, because if I don't, then it's so busy to get through her later. Every now and then I forget, and I'll call her right around 10:30, 11 o'clock. You know the first thing she says? You're late. I'm not late. We didn't have a set time. That's just the time. You understand? She's looking forward to that call. She's waiting for me to call her back. And when I'm not there, she begins to wonder, well, I wonder if they're in an accident. Wonder if he forgot. Wonder if something else is more important. Did he tell me he wasn't going to call this week? See, this is the role that God has placed himself in when it comes to us. Isaiah chapter 6:6 says, "For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, an acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings. God would rather talk to you than have you sacrifice for him." Wow, that's impressive. That's how important your voice is to God. James chapter 15:15 reads this way. "I no longer call you servants." John chapter 15:15. I know I said that wrong. James chapter 15:15. "I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father I have made known to you." God's your friend. He wants to just hang out with you. Yeah, he wants to go have a cup of coffee with you. Sit down and have a meal with you. Sit down and just kind of chat about your day. Find out how things are going. What can I do to help you with your day? I mean, that's what he's looking for. He's not looking for some big poem. God is not poetry. God is about relationship. James chapter 4, verse 8. "Come near to God, and he will come near to you." Make sure you've got that order down right. A lot of times I think we're sitting here and we're waiting for God to come near me. I'm sitting there saying, "Okay, God, I'm right here. Let me know when you're ready to talk." You first. It becomes this standoff battle. Who's going to open their mouth first? Here's his advantage. He's got eternity. He's a very patient God. He'll wait. He says, "Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." Now, he's not giving you conditions before you come to prayer. Talk about what happens when you actually come to prayer. He's not asking you to get your life right before you come to prayer. What James is saying here is, you come here, you draw near to God, he draws near. These are the things that happen automatically. This is what you get from prayer the moment you walk in.